church. We remember truths. We remember teachings, doctrines. But all of these are not just about remembering those things. They're about remembering a person. Remember Jesus, the one whom all these truths are about. Because if we just learn the facts, it's kind of like learning a bunch of facts about your kid or about your wife or about a friend. That doesn't make you closer, right? The facts are necessary. If I know nothing about my wife, that speaks to my relationship with her. But it's not just that I'm able to recite facts. I mean, I can recite facts about Michael Jordan, who was my favorite basketball player as a kid, or Mike Schmidt, who was my favorite baseball player. I can recite facts about those things, but I don't know them. They don't know me. But we do know Jesus. So I want you to take a minute to remember this morning. I'm going to read one verse. Got to skip ahead because I didn't put it in the notes where I wanted it right now. But this is going to be the first verse when we get to the actual preaching time. Say, this isn't the actual preaching time. It sort of is. Just hold on. All right, it'll be a little bit different. I don't have any buckets this morning, but it will be a little bit different. Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. So how did you receive the Messiah, the Christ, Jesus, the Lord? I want you to rewind in your mind to that time, and maybe you don't have an exact time, maybe it's a period of time, but when you came to put your faith in Jesus, the one that you knew was Messiah, the one that you knew was Lord, who told you about Jesus? When did it sink in? In a minute, and I'm only giving you a minute to prepare, we're going to have Greg and someone else who he chose, I'm not sure who the chosen one is, walk around with microphones. Because I would like for you, if you would like to share with our church body when you came to know Jesus. That's who we're remembering, right? It's not that you just got overwhelmed by facts and, okay, this is logical, so I'll sign on. There came a point where you met a person, right? For me, I never remember a time when I didn't know about Jesus, because I had the privilege of being raised in a home with Christian parents, as many of you have and many of you haven't. But I don't remember a time when I didn't know about Jesus, or they didn't know that I was a sinner, or they didn't know Jesus died for my sins. These facts were in my mind. And one afternoon, I was taking a nap and not sleeping, as most young kids do during their naps. And I'm not sure what compelled me at that point, but I decided, no, it's time I asked Jesus into my heart. And I asked Jesus to save me from my sins. No, I didn't understand everything that Messiah meant. I didn't understand everything that Jesus being my Lord meant at that point, but I knew that he was like God. And I knew that I was a sinner. And I knew I wanted to be forgiven. And just to be sure, I asked him a second time. And then throughout the process of my life growing up, I asked him many, 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 many more times. But you only need to once, but my own insecurities at times led me to ask more. So what about you? Would any of you be willing to share just a little bit about how you came to know Jesus so that all of our hearts could be encouraged with how Jesus has worked in and around our church body?
Alex is waving you down.
Fantastic people in this church, and it's presented a lot of very logical
Go ahead, Pam. Pam. Go ahead. Kim. Yeah, sorry.
Where my life was going, she said. thanks for sharing. We'll have to do this again sometime. I would encourage you, if you are part of a small group, to share with your small group tonight or tomorrow when your small group meets, to share your story. At this point, I'm going to ask the elders and deacons to come forward as we observe the Lord's Supper. And I'm going to read from Colossians 1, a passage we've studied recently and read several times. But He, God, has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He, the Son, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by Him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones, dominions, rulers, or authorities. All things were created through Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything He might be preeminent. For in Him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through Him to reconcile to Himself all things, whether in earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of His cross. And you were once alienated and hostile in your mind, doing evil deeds. He has now reconciled you in His body of flesh by His death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before Him. This is the Jesus we remember. Thank you for helping us remember Him this morning, for remembering how He is still at work in all of our hearts and all of our lives. We are going to remember now through what we call communion or the Lord's Supper. The Scriptures command us to do this regularly. So we'll be taking a cracker, which represents the blood or the body of Christ, the bread, the body of Christ, which is broken for us, which was broken for us on the cross. His blood that poured out for us is represented by the cup, the juice. If you know Jesus, this is for you. Because this is about remembering somebody we know. Not perfectly. We don't know Him like we will, but we know Him better than we used to. So this is for you. If you don't know Jesus, I would encourage you, as we're taking this, to accept Jesus. You've heard the gospel several times this morning from several of our people, right? We're sinners. We're broken. We're separated from our Creator. We need Jesus. And whoever calls upon the name of Jesus will be saved. Instead of eating a cracker and drinking some juice to fit in, ask Jesus if He would make you His child today and forgive you of your sins. I'm going to ask Pastor Greg if he would thank Jesus for His broken body. Ask Pastor Doug if he would thank the Lord for His blood. our Lord Jesus on his Last Supper with his disciples, the last observance of the true Passover until the real Passover came that next day, decided to teach his disciples then what this would all mean. And he started by passing around a loaf of unleavened bread and tore off pieces and said, "This is my body, which is for you." Jesus said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After dinner, Jesus continued to teach. This wasn't just information or doctrine. This was about his own life that he would give. And he told them, "This cup is the new covenant. All of the promises that you've read about in the Old Testament that were coming will be paid for by my blood. So as you drink this cup, remember my blood." Jesus said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it, remembering me." As we continue in worship, we're going to continue our study in Colossians. And yes, I know what time it is, and we're only going to cover two verses this morning. For I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you and for those at Laodicea and all those who have not seen me face to face, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love to reach all the riches of full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I say this in order that no one will delude or deceive you with plausible arguments, for though I am absent in the body, I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the firmness of your faith in Christ. All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are in Jesus. Do you believe that? Do you trust that? What did you pursue last week? We talked about that passage last week, right? That in Jesus are all my treasures of wisdom and knowledge. That's just not intellectual. That is relational. And in him are everything that I should seek. He's like the treasure in the field, the pearl of great price. So what did you chase last week? Did it leave you thirsty? Did it leave you broken? Did it leave you discontent? Anxious, worried, fearful. I think about the world that appears to be crumbling around us. Sometimes we look at troubles and long for them to go away. That's how I felt about this whole COVID thing from the beginning. Sometimes we look at them as God's chastening or his discipline to make us less in love with the world. And there's truth in that, but I think that's somewhat of a, that comes across like God is just this jealous, and he is jealous in a sense, but God is just this domineering, jealous God who, okay, I'm going to teach you, you're too happy with your stuff, so I'm going to take it away. That's not it. Just look at world history. The world is not a stable place. Our possessions are not a stable foundation. Our health is not a permanent fixture. It will go. And there are times that God allows trouble into our life, not because he's like, ah, they were doing good, so I'm going to slap them now, but because he wants us to realize you put your hope all in this bucket over here, but that bucket is filled with holes and cracks, and it is going to collapse. Don't put all of your hopes in that. In Christ are all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Today's text starts with the therefore, because it's saying, because that's what is true, that in Christ are all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Since that is true, just like you received him, walk in him. This idea of received is a verb that's used often of passing down a tradition or passing down a statement of faith kind of a thing. And so some commentators look at that and say, what we're talking about here is the passing down of this document or these doctrines from one generation to another or from one person to another. And there's truth in that, because Christianity is full of truth statements, is it not? The Bible is filled with truth statements, but knowing Jesus is more than knowing truth statements. We know that, right? We talk figuratively about head knowledge and heart knowledge, right? But I think sometimes we make too great a distinction between the two, because we know people can know things about Jesus but not truly know Jesus. We put all the emphasis here and none of it here.
forgetting that it is what we know about Jesus up here that drives how we know Jesus here. It's why as we worship together, we seek to pick songs that are filled with the truth of who Jesus is, because we don't come here to feel good about your Jesus in the sense of what you would like Jesus to be, because whatever you would like Jesus to be is a horrible misunderstanding and understatement of the glories of who he actually is. So yes, is this a passing down of doctrine or is this a passing down of relationship? And I would say emphatically, yes, both. Just as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord. There's a lot just in that statement. There's a reason that Paul uses all of these three names for Jesus. It is literally the Christ Jesus the Lord. Some of your translations might say Christ Jesus as Lord, as in your receiving of Jesus has to do with you receiving Christ, the Messiah, Jesus, as your Lord. And there is some truth in that, but that's not actually what it's saying. The text is actually just using this confession, this actual truth of who Jesus is. Jesus is Christ, Messiah. This is the word that he's used for Jesus, the name he's used for Jesus. Over and over and over again in the first chapter and the first few verses of chapter 2. Christ, 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 and that name rolls off our tongue like it's a last name or like it's a curse word, but Christ is so rich and full of meaning. This is the Messiah, the one who would come, the King, yes, but he is the deliverer. That's who the Jews expected, right? The Jews didn't expect just another king. They expected a deliverer, a savior. Now, a savior came in a way that they never expected. Somebody who would not save them right then from the Romans, but would save them from themselves, from their brokenness, their sinfulness, their alienation towards God. The hostility of their minds, their wills against God. The deliverer, the Messiah, the Christ. Just as you received your Savior, your deliverer, your Messiah, which should blow us away because that Messiah was promised in the Old Testament. It appeared just to the Jews, but embedded in the Old Testament and displayed in the New Testament is that this Messiah would not just be the Messiah of the Jews. He would be the King, the deliverer of anyone who would put their faith in Jesus. He came to his own people, and his own people did not receive him. But to those who did receive him, he gave the right to become children of God, right? He is our Messiah. And back in chapter 1, in chapter 2, beginning of chapter 2, that's what Paul is talking about, the riches of what we have of Christ in us. The Messiah is in us. He's in me by faith. I have the Messiah, the deliverer, in me by faith. Have you received Christ Jesus the Lord? Jesus is not just Messiah, but he is Lord. Now, there was a controversy some probably in the early 90s, several years ago. It's hard to believe the early 90s was several years ago, but it was several years ago. It's an issue of lordship salvation, that you have to accept Jesus as Lord of your life if you are to be truly saved. And I just think there's a lot of misunderstandings about that, because when I got saved as a young boy, I had no idea what that meant. But I knew Jesus was God. It wasn't like, I think the differentiation we're trying to make is, you know, Jesus is not a God that you receive along with other gods. You don't take him and put him up on your shelf with all these other things. Now, we all struggle with idolatry. I understand that. But we know and we have accepted that Jesus is king over all of those. And we struggle with that, but Jesus will be king over all of those. You accepted Jesus Christ because he is Lord. I think a better way to say that would not be lordship salvation, but maybe lordship sanctification, right? Because the longer you walk with Christ, the more and more the fact that is Lord becomes more true to you and more precious to you. He is not just Lord of your life. He is Lord over all, right? Remember the first chapter that we read a little bit of this morning already? That he made all things. All things were made through him or by him, and everything was made for him. He is Lord of all. Scripture tells us in Philippians that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is what? Lord. To the glory of God the Father. Jesus is King. He is King of your life whether you bow the knee or not. But if you don't bow the knee now, you will spend eternity without him, without the sacrifice he freely gave to you. He is Lord, and he wants to be Lord of your life now, not because he's on a power trip, but because he is good. He made you. He made you to be with him, to enjoy him, and then he died to reconcile you back to him. So remember when you received Jesus, your deliverer, Messiah, your Lord and King. Remember that. And live like that is true. Many of you know this idea of walking is often used in Scripture as living, right? Walking the path of your life. So just like you received Jesus, the Christ, the Lord, just like you received him, and received all of the teaching about him. You didn't know it all at the time, but you received all of that to be true. Walk in the same manner. Walk like Jesus is your deliverer. Walk like Jesus is your King. Live that way. Rooted. Having the roots of your life buried deep and burrowed deep into Jesus. Finding your nutrients, your security, your stability, your joy. Finding him to be your treasure, digging deeper into that, being rooted in him. Jesus used a very similar picture in the book of John, right? I have it here next, we'll see. Abide in me and I in you. He uses this metaphor of the vine and the branches. As the branch can't bear fruit in itself, you know, it's obvious, right? You go out to your fruit tree and cut a limb off, that limb is not going to bear any more fruit, right? It's dead. So the limb can't do it in itself. You are like that limb, and Jesus is like the tree. So stay in him. Unless it abides in the vine, it can't bear fruit. Neither can you. Unless you abide in me. And what Jesus pleads with his disciples and pleads with us about is, abide in me and I will abide in you. That's very similar to what Paul is saying in Colossians. You have Christ in you. And now he is talking over and over again about us in Christ. Walk in him. Be built up and rooted in him. So put your roots down deep into knowing him. Build your life. That's the next illustration there, is being built up in him. Building your life on him. Letting him build your life on the truth of God, on the truth of Jesus Christ. Remember, in him are all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So don't go after empty deceit and believable arguments from deceivers, when everything has been made by him and for him. Live in him. Dig deep into the truth of who he is. We wonder why sometimes our passion fades. Our passion fades because we stop digging deeply into who Jesus is and what he's done, because you don't move on from the gospel. The gospel is not the ticket to get in and then live life how you want because your sin's already paid for. Or it's my ticket in now. I got to do the rest. That's not it. We continue to walk in the gospel, and Jesus is my deliverer. Jesus is my king, and we continue to bore deeper into what that means. If we are going to have any growth in our passion for him, we have to explore more of who he is. Rooted, build up in him. And this next phrase builds off of that. In other words, this seems to be a result of being rooted and built up in him, is that we become more established, firm in the faith. Not just the confessions, not just the doctrinal statements, but in the faith. That those doctrinal statements, at least the essence of what they are, maybe not the actual words themselves, but the essence of what they are, become precious to us, because it's not just a system of belief. It describes how God feels about me and what Jesus did for me and who I am in him. It's an identity thing. It is a finding my identity, and I am a child of God. I am reconciled. I used to be alienated and hostile in mind, but now I'm reconciled. I've been brought into Christ, and Christ has been brought into me. And finding my security and stability there, because this world will be rocked, right? It already is shaking. We don't know what direction it's going to go. It could be still as a peaceful lake tomorrow, or it could be the worst devastation we've ever seen, right? Or it could just be continuing building tensions. We don't know. But we have a deliverer. We have a king. We have so many sure and precious promises. We have this pearl of great price, this treasure in the field. Let's hold on to that. Dig deeply into that for your stability, your security, your joy, your identity. Established in faith just as you were taught. The teaching is important, right? We're taught many things. Some by actual teachers like me, or an ABF, or in a small group, or in a Bible study. Some by what we choose, the teachers we choose to put in our ears through YouTube and maybe listening to messages or music throughout the week. And then there are the things we listen to that we are being taught every day, subliminally. Subliminally to us, maybe. Intentionally by our world, teaching us vain and deceitful promises. I'm not saying go smash your TV, but your TV is trying to teach you something every time you turn it on. There's almost no music out there that isn't trying to teach you something when you turn it on. Your friends at work, your family are trying to teach you something, to mold you a certain way. Obviously, I'm not saying we should go out and smash our TVs. We definitely shouldn't go out and smash our families and friends. It's not the point. We have to live in this world. But we have to be surrounding ourselves with teaching that is rich in the joys of the gospel, that is rich in the pleasures of knowing Jesus. And this results in what we are created for, abounding, overflowing. Not saying thanks because that's what polite kids do, but having a true heart of thankfulness to God, to Jesus. If you remember back in Romans 1, when Paul is describing a world that's run amok, one of the things he says is they, even though they knew God, they knew who he was, they didn't honor him. They didn't treat him like he was God or give him thanks. And that phrase we kind of throw out, oh, and they didn't say thank you either. No, they didn't have this heart that was thankful that he gave him his very breath. He is the creator. He made you. And you have said, you can stay over there as my genie to work for me, but you will not be my king. I might need you to be my deliverer occasionally, because sometimes I get myself into messes.
but you're not going to be my Messiah. I will run my own life. I will live for my own pleasures. I will build my own kingdom. And hopefully Jesus can help me with that. But when we dig deeply, I'm not talking just theologically. I'm not saying you should all go buy a systematic theology that's this thick this week and dig in. What I am saying is we should be in his word. We should be studying. We should be speaking God's word to one another. We should be doing more of what we did this morning in everyday life, sharing what God has done for us, sharing how much we love Jesus, just speaking of our love for Jesus to one another. How do you grow in the Christian life? It's not a second packet that comes out, okay? Here's the pamphlet on how to accept Christ. Then here is packet number two, how you live for Christ. No, it's the same one. He's your Christ, your Messiah, deliverer. Rest in that. Love him for that. Read about that. Watch TV about that. Listen to music about that. Doesn't mean only that, but let that continue to teach you. Jesus is your king. The more we're embedded in the world, the more we actually find that a little bit threatening and scary. The more we're resting in him, the more we find that glorious and comforting. And if we do that, if God allows us to dig deeper, to build our lives on him as our foundation, we will become more strong in the faith, not strong so that we can beat down our adversaries, but strong as in secure, confident, joyful in who Jesus is. And our hearts will abound in thankfulness, gratitude, love, or maybe what we would call worship, true, genuine worship of him. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you would allow us to dig more deeply into your goodness in sending your son to die in our place. I pray that we would spend our days putting influences around us that would cause us to rejoice in your grace and your kindness towards us. Pray that you would do this work. We need you to continue this work in our lives. In Christ's name, amen. Before we close with a couple songs, we're going to have the deacons come forward to do our normal deacon's offering. This offering is also called our benevolence offering because it is how we help people in our own church congregation who are in need. So every dollar that comes in goes to somebody who is in need in our congregation. It doesn't go to pay the bills or the financial responsibilities of the church. It goes to help people directly. You guys usually almost always give generously towards that, and this is our opportunity for that. While they're coming, we are going to hear a quick update from our